bris yesterday. My daughter had the bris yesterday and the baby after my father. Amen. Here the Mishnah, the last parak, lists off the Chamisha Inuyim. The Gemara learns that from Psukim that on Yom Kippurim not only is it prohibited to eat and to drink, achila shtiyah, and it says kol nefesh shelos zune beetzam ayam hazeh v'nichrusa, one who eats or drinks on Yom Kippur is chayv kareis, but in addition to the achila shtiyah, there are another four inuim, there are chamisha inuim. So what else is aser? Rechitza, sicha, nilos hasandal, and tashmish hamito. But there's no kareis on the others. There's only kareis on achila shtiyah, and there's no kares on the other. So this leads the Rabbeinu Tam to understand that only the prohibition of achilu shtiyah is deraisa, and the others are only midrabbanan. If all the chamisha inuim would really be min haTorah, so there should have been a punishment of kares on everything. And the Rambam clearly disagrees. The Rambam writes kimat explicitly that all five are min haTorah. It's not such a pella. You find such a din that you have one pasuk and it includes various things, and one has kares and the others don't have kares, and they're all awesome min haTorah. You have the mashal. Dam is an isa called dam loisachelu. So the Gemara says there's only chorus if you eat dam shehaneshama yotzebo. When you shecht an animal and the dam comes out, so the Gemara says you can tell by the change in the color of the dam when is the dam causing the animal to die. That's the dam shehaneshama yotzebo. And when is it stam dam evam? Let's say if you have a piece of flesh and you don't salt it and you squeeze out the dam, if you drink that dam, that's an isa deraisa, but there's no chorus on that. Of course, it's only on the dam shehaneshama yotzebo, but it's all min haTorah. So you have one iser, and sometimes it has kares, sometimes it doesn't have kares. It's not such a hechrich what the Rabbeinu Tam proved over here. So the Rambam holds all the chamisha inuim are min haTorah.
The Rambam holds that's the same thing.
That's a Gemara, yeah. That he agrees, yeah. I don't know. That's how Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam's hoichocha. The Gemara talks about nilas hasandal. What's included in a sandal? What's considered a sandal? So, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the whole topic of nilas hasandal is only midrabbanan to begin with. Do you ever have a din of sandal on the level of deraisis? Do you have a din of chalitza? If a person is married and he dies and he leaves no children, no grandchildren, so the wife has to, and he leaves a surviving brother, so the brother has to do chalitza to the yevama. So it says, V'cholza na'alo me'al ragloi. What's haistan na'al? What's considered a shoe? So the Gemara has a machlekes ha'tanoim. So one ashita in tanoim is that it only has the status of a shoe if it's made from leather, because the pasuk says in Yecheskel, when the Rabbanu Shlom took B'nai Yisrael out of Eretz Mitzrayim, so he took care of us like a parent takes care of a little baby. He diapered us and he smeared us and he washed us and he took care. He put on powder. He took care of everything like you take care of a little baby. And then it says, "Ve'nolech tachash," and I put on leather shoes from tachash skin. The tachash was a behema that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to have oris tachashim, latzei shitim. When they made the cover for the Mishkan, they had oris tachashim. So tachash was a behema. The Gemara says, "In that member blik, it happened to be a kosher behema." It was a behema Torah because the Gemara says lehuchshul amelachos shamayim alor behema Torah belvad. If it would have been a treif animal, they wouldn't be allowed to use the skin for the areas on the Mishkan. So the pasuk says in Yecheskel beinolech tachash, I made nalayim for the little baby from tachash skin. So that's how we paskan lalacha. That's how we learn after that pasuk. It's only called nal. It's only called a shoe if it's made from leather. If it's not made from leather, it's not called a shoe. And other Tanoim disagree, and they hold, no, even if it's not made for leather, if you have a pair of sneakers, or you have wooden shoes, of many other material, if you wear socks, that for sure is not called a shoe. It doesn't protect the foot at all. But if you wear sneakers, or wooden shoes, or other material, synthetic material, so that's a machlekes ha-Tanoim. So most of the in Shulchan Aruch, the psak that's accepted is, that if it's not made from leather, it's not called a shoe. So in the middle of Shiva, when one is not permitted to wear a nilus ha-sandal, so we assume that you're allowed to wear sneakers. Anything on Tisha B'Av, in nilus ha-sandal is also, we assume if it's not made from leather, it's muta.
So sandal must imply leather.
Right.
Sandal is leather.
Right. Word sandal has to, only on the level of deraisa, b'negiah to chalitza, that's how we paskin. And b'negiah to Tisha B'Av is only the Rabbanan, and Shiva is only the Rabbanan, even Yom Kippur, According to the Rambam is also deraisa. According to the Rabbi and Tam is the Rabbanan, nilas sandal. So we pass on it's only if it's leather. From the Rambam at this, Rav Soloveitchik always used to say over his chumrah, he thought from the Rambam is mashma, that even if it's not made from leather, the ikir is sheyargish koshi ha'aretz, if it doesn't have a heel on the bottom. If you have sneakers with arches in it, then he used to say, according to the Rambam, he thought that it's awesome. You have to wear something that doesn't have arches, so the whole bottom of the foot is flat. So he was machmer not to use sneakers on Yom Kippur. He said, according to the Rambam, it's an issa deraisa, so it should be choshish. If it's only a din derabbanan to begin with, no. So there's room to be more lenient. But he said, according to the Rambam, you're dealing with an issa deraisa, amnilas asandal, so he thought you should be machmer like that. That was his chumer. That Yom Kippur, you shouldn't wear sneakers with arches.
What about the pads? You know those black with the white on the bottom? They're called pads, I think. They have like a flat bottom, but it's thick. It definitely protects the foot. But it's not, there's no arch, it's just flat.
I don't know why Rav Soloveitchik thought it depends on the arch. How do you know the arch? Maybe it depends on how thick it is on the bottom. I don't know. By chalitza, Taisus and Perik mitzvahs chalitza, and the end of the Ibam is Taisus quotes Rabbein Atam that the chalitza shoe, the same machlekes. Can you use a chalitza shoe, machlekes hatanoim? Can you use a chalitza shoe that's not made from leather? So we pass, it has to be made from leather. So Rabbein Atam says it has to be made from leather from a behema tohoira. All of our shoes are made from or behema tmeo, from horse leather. All the shoes, the regular shoes, are made from horse leather. So the Rabbeinu Tam says you can't use that for chalitza. It has to be made from or behema toira, because you learn it out from the pasuk v'neolach tachash. And the Gemara says in Bet Malblikin that tachash happened to have been a kosher animal. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to use it for the oris tachash and for the mishkan, because l'huch shalom alecha shamayim alor behema toira b'lavan. So what do you mean on Yom Kippur? You're allowed to wear these shoes that we wear because it's horse leather. It's only also to wear shoes in Tisha B'Av. And in Shiva, you're allowed to wear regular leather shoes because it's horse leather. How can it be? So the Achrayim say, no, that's not, or Hashulch and others say, no, that's not what the Rabbeinu Tam meant. Rabbeinu Tam meant that Chalitz is the Chamitzvah. So just like we have a din, L'Huchshul Malach HaShamayim, Elor Behema Torah Bolvad, for Tefillin and Mezuzahs, and for Ritzuas, and for the Oris Tachosh, and for the Mishkan, that's Tashmishi Kedusha. All the religious articles that we use for purposes of mitzvahs are divided into two categories. Some are Tashmishi Mitzvah, some are Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Gemara says in Bamei Madlik, L'Huchshul, Malach HaShamayim, Alor Behem HaTorah Balvan, you have Halacha L'Moshe Misina, you can only use for Tashmishi Kedusha whenever the Halacha requires leather. But there is no Halacha that says that Aron Kodesh has to have a leather lining. It doesn't have to have any lining at all. It can have cloth lining. It can be just made from wood. So even if you want to use a leather lining, Dayan Grossman has a chew about this. Someone wanted to spend a fortune of money to have jet black leather lining from horse leather to line the Aron Kodesh in the middle. He had nothing to do with his money, so he wanted to waste some money on that. So the Shaila is, are you allowed to use that or not? It's a behema tmeya, an or behema tmeya. So he thought, and it's a tashmishi kedusha nachzad desu also. So the Pashto says, he quotes an Orach HaShulchan, Dayan Grossman quotes an Orach HaShulchan, there's no halacha that says you need leather. The Aron Kodesh can be made from wood, it can be made from synthetic material. The only time the halacha says you can't use from a behema tmeya is if the halacha requires it should be from an animal, then it has to be from our behema Torah. But if there's no halacha that says it has to be hide from an animal bichlal, so then you can use a behema tmeya also. So that's not a problem. But the Shaila is, let's say, chalitza shu. Chalitza shu is not a tashmishi kedusha. It's a tashmishi mitzvah. So does that halacha, l'huchshu l'malach shamayim, does it carry over to tashmishi mitzvah as well, or does it only apply to tashmishi kedusha? So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. The Shaila is, let's say, a shofar. If you have a shofar from the behema tmeya, the horn of a behema tmeya. So the Ramah in Hilchas Shofar, Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, quotes the Ran in Rosh Hashanah, that just like by Tashmishi Kedusha, by the Ritzuas and by the Oris Tachoshim and the Mishkan, you had to have Dafka from a kosher animal. You can't use from a non-kosher animal for Tashmishi Kedusha. So the same is true regarding Tashmishi Mitzvah as well, by the Shofar as well. But the Ran writes it as a suffix. The Ramah doesn't write it, so the Ramah writes it, it's no good. The Ran is not sure what the din is. So the Achrayim quote that it seems to be a Mufurish and Machlekes in Rishonim.
Doesn't the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah say that it has to be from a kosher
No. Doesn't say. Doesn't say. One time in the Mishnah, it sounds like he says it has to be Dafka Ayol. The Rambam Pasmid is not an Ayil, excuse me.
Ayil.
Ayil.
Okay, right.
A Ram Dafka. Anything other than a Ram is no good. No. The Rambam Pasmid is like that Mishnah. Only a Ram, even from another kosher animal, is also no good. Only a Ram. And we don't really hold like that. We paskin any animal is good. So then the Ramah quotes this Ran on the Rif that is from a non kosher animal to Tignish.
He says something different
between
a shofar and a Karen. From
a
kosher animal, you get a Karen also, which
he says. What do you mean a Karen? The Mishnah says a shofar is no good. One reason given is because it's called a Karen. It's never called a shofar. But it's the same thing. A shofar and Karen, same thing. Just in Loshon HaTanach, one is called a Karen, one is called a shofar.
The shechita has to use it for
strictly speaking from a nevela is also good. If you have you never did a shechita, is also good.
Yeah.
The horn is not affected.
No.
Let's say you want to write parshias on klaf.
Yeah.
So the klaf has to be from a kosher animal.
Yeah.
But the Gemara says it doesn't have to have had a proper shechita.
No.
Even if it's a nevela treifa is also good. In fact, there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was medaktik dafkit. He told the sefer, the Ger Rebbe who died at this 50 years ago, I don't remember which one. So after he died, they wrote up that he had a kpeda that you should use dafkin nevelas atreifus. He said the kosher gishacht and a behema had its tikkun. Everything in this world needs a tikkun, that it should be involved in avodas Hashem. So the kosher gishacht and a behema had a tikkun. That the shechet gezokta brach and peep late the flesh and the guy koch to do mitzvahs and ice and tovim. But the nevelas the treifus never had any tikkun. So he told the sefer you should be mahader to afket to get nevelas the treifus to give it a tikkun that it should its life should have served a purpose for avodas Hashem. An einfach. Yes, so you can't say the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say that if you have shoes that are made from horse leather, you're allowed to wear those shoes on Yom Kippur. That doesn't make sense. He probably meant to say, that's how the Aruch HaShulchan Aruch say. Probably meant to say, a chalitza shoe is a tashmishe mitzvah. You're using it for a mitzvah. Senishkan tashmishe kedusha, if you have an old chalitza shoe that's all torn, you don't have to put it in the shame. You see, you throw it in the garbage. It's like an old esrig. It's not a tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe kedusha, when you can't use it anymore, you have to put it in the shame, you have to give it a proper kvura. Tashmishe mitzvah is rokim. After the zman mitzvah is up, you throw it out.
Does it only work as if it's been on a matir, if it would work even if it would be a matir?
What if it would be only a matir? Would it have to be behema Torah? I don't know. Anyway, but Tosis says the chalitza is a mitzvah. Tosis proves the chalitza is a mitzvah, v'haraya, that you have dinim l'chatchila. L'chatchila you need the rekikah and the kriyas ha'psukim. The Tosis said if it would only be a matir, it wouldn't make sense to require things l'chatchila that are not miyakid b'di'evit. So Tosis proves the chalitza is a mitzvah. It's a machlokes, is there a mitzvah to perform chalitza if the yavam is not interested in remarrying? That's a dion in the Beis Shmuel and in the Pischei Tshuva and Ebenezer. The minig, the common practice is that when a woman loses a husband, she doesn't, and she needs chalitza, she doesn't. So if she's a young girl, she just got a 19-year-old girl, and her husband was just killed in the Israeli army. So of course she plans to remarry. What, a 19-year-old girl? So she's going, of course she's going to have chalitza. But if it's an older woman, a woman is 70 years old, and her husband was 75, 80 years old, and he died. She doesn't know if she wants to remarry. So the minhag olam is that they don't do chalitz until they're interested in remarrying. In fact, there was a case in Breuer's community a couple of years ago. A woman needed chalitz. She didn't bother to have the chalitz until she was interested in remarrying. And then she had the chalitz and she wanted to remarry that week. And she was going to go with her new husband for Pesach to a hotel somewhere in Florida. Then she found out she's supposed to wait 3 months, havchana. After you do chalitza, she was already in her 70s, I guess, 60s, 70s. So she was surprised to hear she's supposed to wait 3 months until she remarries. So they had to go rent two different rooms in the hotel. They couldn't rent the same room. And then they finally got married after Pesach. After Pesach, they got married. So
get?
That's a machlokes.
What about get?
Also, he's supposed
question,
to.
Question?
The get doesn't have to be on parchment. Like the lining inside the Aron Kodesh. Since you don't even need any leather lining, so even if you want to put a leather lining, The Aruch HaShulchan says there's no problem of lehuch shulam alach shamayim alar bein mitar b'levad. So a get, his man says, written on paper. You write a get on thick paper. Years ago, they used to write the get on parchment. But since you don't really need parchment, so it doesn't have to be our behemator. A get is not a mitzvah. That's what he's asking. A get is not a mitzvah. It's only a matir. But you don't need parchment b'chla. So there's no kpeda that has to be dafka or behemator.
A
get is a tzur. That is correct. Yeah, rechitza is aser on Yom Kippur. According to the Rambam, rechitza is deraisa. According to the Rabbi Natan, rechitza is derabbanan. The Gemara says, though, rechitza is only aser if it's rechitza shel tainuk. Let's say, hoyu yodov meluchlochos, the hands are dirty, or the part of the body is dirty, so then that's not called rechitza shel tainuk, so that's permissible. What if a person is tomei and he wants to go to the mikveh to become tohar? So that's a Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos. Here it's a Gemara in the end of Yom also. But in the end of Masechah Shabbos, Tosfos has a whole discussion on it. So the Gemara says, "Kol ha-tmeim, all the tmeim are permitted to be tovel in the mikveh on Yom Kippur, even though rechitza is also it's mutter. Why is it mutter? So Tosfos has two pshatim. Rashi's pshat and Tosfos disagrees. So one pshat is because the Gemara is going with the shita that tefillah b'zman mitzvah. There's a machlokes ha-tanaim. Is there a, when it says v'rocha, it says psar ba'mayim b'toher? Does that mean you should go to the mikveh at the earliest available opportunity? It's a mitzvah, tefillah b'zman mitzvah, to be tovel as soon as possible. Or do you say, no, tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah? So Tosfos has one pshat that they don't like, they're not happy with that pshat, that this Tana who says in the Braisa that kol ha-tmeim, kol chabit tefillah stevin kadarka mitisha bov ha-biyam ha-kippurim, that a person is tummy is allowed to go to mikveh on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, that's only if you hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, so you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. So if you do it l'shem mitzvah, that's not called rechitza shel tainuk. But we paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. It's also machlokes how to paskin. That's in the first perek in Yuma. So Tosfos quotes that in the days of the Gaonim, the majority opinion was that tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah. By the time he came a few generations later, the days of the Rishonim, so the majority of the Rishonim held that tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. Tosfos quotes that it was a machlokes here, it is chesam and alav. Machlokes Rabbi Natan and his brother-in-law, what was his name? I forgot already. Rabbi Natan's brother-in-law, Ben Shimshon Azokin or something. So the brother-in-law, the Rabbi Natan, wrote piyutim, so he was of the opinion that tefillah b'zman is mitzvah. That's how he writes in his piyutim. Rabbi Natan disagrees, no, we pass on tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. That's how most assume, in the days of the Rishonim, most assume tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. So Tosfos writes in the end of Masechah Shabbos on Tav Kuf Chof that you shouldn't think that pshat in the Braisa kol chav tefillah stevin kedarkan b'tisha b'av of Yom Kippurim is only because you hold that Braisa holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah, and since b'zman is we pass on tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah, so there's no hetter to go to mikveh. No, Tosfos says it's not true. Even if you hold tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah, it's only a matir still. If the tefillah in the mikveh is mitzuref to tahara, so that's also by definition. It's not called the rechitza shel tainu. It's only rechitza. It doesn't have to be rechit. Let's say it says in the Braisa and the Gemara, you're not allowed to afil lahoy shetetz baktana b'mayim, to put a pinky into a cup of water is also awesome. What's the tainug over there? What he has such anoah? No, so it means rechitza is automatically always labeled as rechitza shel tainu unless it's mitzuref ledover acher. So if the person has lichluch biyodov, his hands are dirty, so that's a rechitza to wash off the dirt. That's mitzuref ledover acher. That's not called rechitza shel tainu. Or if it's a tefillah, if it's, let's say, shal mitzvah, the kohen wants the duchen on Yom Kippur. So he's washing his hands are not dirty. There's a mitzvah to wash, the kohen should wash until he's yadayim before he duchens. So since it's a mitzvah to wash his hands, and he says the bracha on until he's yadayim. Our practice is the kohen doesn't say the bracha on until he's yadayim when he washes the duchen, because he washed already when he woke up in the morning. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, we're going to get this soon in Soita. Does the din require you have to wash until it's a dime samach, soon before you duchen? Or can you rely on the until it's a dime that you did 4 hours ago in the morning when he woke up? He washed until it's a dime. Now he's going to duchen in the middle of Musaf. 5-6 hours later, he's going to duchen in the middle of Musaf. Is that okay? So we're machmer that he has to wash again. He can't wash again the until it's a dime. But we don't say you should say a bracha, because maybe the din really is that the until it's a dime he did in the morning was good enough. Unless he went to the bathroom in between. So then, the ikra then he needs another until he said that. So then the pashtus is, then the vadois the kohen has to wash until it's a daim, no machloikis, and then he should really say a bracha. Mishnah Berurah quotes up an opinion from the Achrayim that maybe the Chachamim would have a misakan a bracha for until it's a daim for duchening. So Ashver Ashita. The Pashtus, the reason why the Kohanim never say a bracha when they wash for duchening is because we can rely on the Shita that they were Yotze with the Nitzil Sadaim they did in the morning. But if we went to the Beis HaKis in between, or they took after shoes, or let's say not on Yom Kippur, it's a Yontif and they took after shoes, so then of course they have to wash until the Sadaim. So then the Pashtus says that they really should say a bracha then.
Shver.
Yeah, the Pashtus says that you should say a bracha. Mishnah Berurah Epis leaves it like that. The Chachamim would never misak on a bracha until the Sadaim for duchening. Why not?
About tying up the shoes. What do you say? Is that you need a broker?
No. Let's say it's on Yontif, not on Yom Kippur. On Yontif, the kohen is wearing shoes.
Yeah.
So he's going to take off, he's going to untie his shoes in order to duchen, you have to take off your shoes. So when he unties his shoes, he's touching the shoes. So then, of course, he has to wash until the Sedaim. So he can't say he can rely on the Natila Sedaim that he had when he woke up in the morning. Mm-hmm. He just touched his shoes.
And make a bracha.
So then he should say a bracha on until the Sedaim when he washes. Achrayim have like that. That the only time you have to wash is when you touch leather shoes. If you touch non-leather shoes, you don't have to wash. Maybe our shoes are different. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have paved streets. When you walk in the street, you were walking in a blotter, so the shoes were all filthy. Our shoes are not so dirty. Even the bottom of our shoes are not so dirty. The top of the shoes for sure not so dirty. So that's some Achrayim want to say like that, that the whole din of washing Natilas Yadayim, if you touch your shoes, doesn't apply bismanas even by leather shoes, maybe because the shoes are not so filthy like they used to be years ago, because the streets were not paved. So you would always be walking in a blotter and the shoes would always be absolutely filthy. That's a shayla.
The leather absorbs dirt also. Leather absorbs dirt. It's not the rubber you don't observe.
Right, so that's what a lot of Achrayim say like that, that you only have to wash until the Sedaim if you touch leather shoes. If you touch sneakers, you don't have to. Okay. So that's what Taisus says in the end of Shabbos. Taisus says, Kol chavit tefilas tevlen kedarkim et tishbov of Yom Kippurim. The reason why it's mutter is not because tefilah bizmana mitzvah. Even if we accept la halacha tefilah bizmana la mitzvah, still, the tefillah in the mikvah is l'shem tahara, to remove tumah. So since it's a tefillah hametahara, so it's not called rechitza shel taina. Yeah. Bizman hazeh, Taisa says, we don't allow a person to go to tomei. We don't allow a tomei to go to mikvah on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. Why? Because who goes to mikvah today? We don't observe tumah b'tahara. The only people who go to mikvah are married women. And there's an issa tashmish amita on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. So the whole going to mikveh is not relevant. So we don't allow, let's say we don't allow single girls to go to mikveh all year long, because you're going to allow the woman to go to mikveh, it'll just lead her to sin. So on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, there's an issa tashmish amita, so we don't permit women to go to mikveh. The only time they permitted people to go to mikveh on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is when the tefillah was relevant for tumah v'tahara purposes. But b'zman that's only relevant lahat risha lebailah. So Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're not matar lebayla. Right. So Bismana Gemara, the Gemara has on the last daf in Yuma. Bismana Gemara, when Bismana Tanoim, when the Takanas Ezra was still in force, when the din still required that one is not allowed to daven, one is not allowed to learn unless he goes to the mikveh if he's a balkari. So the Gemara says it was permissible to go to mikveh on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. He wants to daven. He wants to learn. Bizman is that we don't observe Takana Sezra anymore. So the whole thing doesn't apply. So we say you're not allowed to go to mikveh. So by some of the Hasidim hold that the Gemara only says they repeal Takana Sezra with respect to learning Torah. The Gemara in the end of the second parak in Brochas, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira repealed the Takana Sezra, because the Pasuk says in Novi, Halakot Dvoriko Eish Niyum Hashem, Ma Eish Eini Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara only says that the Takanas Ezra was repealed with respect to learning Torah. One never says it was repealed with respect to davening. So that's the Shita Saravid. So the Chassidim Amachma Ladat Ravid, that a Balkari is not a Balkari, or a woman is a Palat Shech Lazera. Do the women also go to mikveh? They don't daven Mechlam. The The women who are married to a Hasidim also go to mikveh.
Isn't it a suffix though? That Hasidim just go on Yom Kippur no matter what, right?
I mean, what do you mean? On Yom Kippur?
Yeah. A lot of them do.
Some allowed to go.
What I'm saying is, but what's the cheshbon? It's only a suffix.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is that, you know, there it's they're running into a possible issur d'oraisa.
Sure. No, I thought they only say if the man knows bevados that he became a balkari, so then some of the great Hasidic rebbes were matir that you go to mikvah Yom Kippur. Why? Because they want to be machmer for the shittas arrive. The takana says it still applies with respect to davening. So even though we don't really pass on like that, but since that's their intention, so the kavana is l'shem mitzvah, so that takes off the issur d'oraisa. Very, very, no, suffolk they wouldn't go. Only if the person knows b'vat does that he became a balkari. I'm just wondering, the chassidish people who go to mikveh all the time before they want to daven. So their wives also go to mikveh before they daven. Other wives never daven. The wives never daven. Maybe that's the answer. Because the Takana says it was on a balkari, and the woman who's a paleta shichvazera, she also has to go to mikveh before she davens. So before she, they don't daven, they don't bench. The women, they don't learn, that's upkeret. Chassidish wives, they don't learn. Okay.
Probably
they don't say Maidani. You gotta say something. Okay. So Mustaman, then they should go to mikvah. So Bizman Azet Taisa says, Bizman Azet, since the whole going to mikvah is only relevant, Lahati Risha Labailo and Antishabab and Yom Kippur, there's no Heta Labailo, so we don't allow going to mikvah and Tishabab and Yom Kippur.
But look, in the Yom Kippur, Gemara says that he is Sameach. So this not it's it should not be an excuse to go to the mikveh. It's the other way around.
Shvera heta. It's a shvera heta to go to mikveh. We don't paskan takana says. We don't paskan like that, right? It's a chumra. The chassidim accepted it as a chumra. So how can they turn around and use that chumra to be mekel to allow people to go to mikveh on Yom Kippur? Very difficult.
You disrupt your davening. It takes a few hours to go to the mikveh. You have to daven.
Yeah, they go to mikveh 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. But we pass, you know, the Torah repeats still kind of. It's like somebody's sweated up on Yom Kippur or something like that. We don't say a person walks the mikveh like that.
If it annoys him, that's called meluch lochim. If his body is meluch loch and it bothers him, so then he's allowed to wash. That's not called rechitza shel tainik. To clean off the dirt is not called rechitza shel tainik. Yeah.
The government say that in that on the macabre, make a lot of that thing, like when you sit washing your eyes and stuff like that, a few times more than, and the Ramah says no. Another, everybody says, look in the morning, you can do that. But the macabre goes a step further, I think, even during the day, I think he says, during Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, and I think the Ramah said Yom Kippur not, if I remember correctly.
Don't know. There's a deal in halacha. How far this goes? That we don't allow a woman to go to mikveh when there's no heter labayla. Let's say a woman is in the middle of shiva and she has to go to mikveh. So we wouldn't permit her to go to mikveh because there's an isa tashmish amita. She asks, what if the husband is in the middle of shiva? She's not in the middle of shiva. Her husband is sitting shiva, but she's only muteris. She's married. She's only mitaris lebaila. So that's a dion in the Tshuvas Maram Shik. Rabbi Shlomo Breuer was the son-in-law of Rabbi Hirsch. And when he was engaged to get married to Rabbi Hirsch's daughter, so he went through Hilchas Nida. So he apparently was a Talmud of the Maram Shik. So he sent the Shaita to the Maram Shik. So he has a Tshuva to him on this issue. An interesting pilpul. What would be the din if the husband is in the middle of Shiva and the wife is up to going to mikveh? Would you say she's allowed to go to mikveh? She has to wait till after the husband shiva is over, because the whole you don't allow people to go to mikveh unless she's materis lebaila, and she's not materis lebaila because of the husband, not because of her. So that's an interesting deal.
You don't allow the woman to go to her mikveh, the husband is not in the city. Let's say he's coming home like 2 days later. The money with her mikveh is not going to die.
Shulchan Aruch says fakir. We should encourage the women to go.
Even
if the husband is not in town.
Yeah.
Once in a while, the husband will surprise her and come that day.
Early.
Yeah, he will come early. But even without that, lechatchila we are choshish for those opinions that tefillah bizman
hamitzvah. Isn't one of the brachas we have that the husbands will come home and find their wives on that tumah?
Yes.
And therefore, she has to go to the mikvah.
She should. Yeah, she should go to mikvah before the husband comes back.
Avada. What's the marker of? What's the reason for going to
mikvah? Yom Kippur. You spoke last week about it. The Pashup shot is because the Machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid, when the Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira did away, he repealed the Takanas Ezra, and he get to learning Torah, did he also repeal Takanas Ezra with respect to davening? So the Ramam says the whole Takanas Ezra is one Takana, is all repealed, doesn't apply anymore. The Ramam says, in heaven they can testify on me, Shripe to the Ramam and the Mishnah Torah, that he always went to Mikveh before he davened. But he says, Mikra Din is not necessary. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. We don't have the Ravid in the Hasogas, but the Rosh quotes the Ravid, who disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid holds that Takanas Ezra was only repealed with respect to learning. It was never repealed with respect to davening. So Mikra Din, a Balkari and a Polet, Sheikh Mazera, has to go to Mikveh if they want to daven. So all year long, we don't follow the Ravid with Mekel, the Misnagdim for sure, the Mekel. So Naseris made Shuvah for Yom Narayim, we should be Machmed. That's how the Rishonim say. It should be machmir for Takana Sezer. That's how the Ramah says, that the fact that we go to Mikveh, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, is because of Keri. Because about Keri, we're concerned, maybe Takana Sezer is binding. So just like an Aseris made Shuba, we're machmir, and all kinds of other things, so we're machmir this also, we're choshish for the Shitas arriving.
I just recall Rebbe telling us a story about the Rav. He gave up eating to go to the Mikveh. Went to the Baya that day.
Not familiar. Must have heard from someone else. So the Rosh at the end of Yuma quotes Rav Sadigon that on Erev Yom Kippur, when you go to Mikveh, you say a bracha. So the Rosh understood the Rav Sadigon that the reason why he holds you go to Mikveh is because Chai Vodim Otair Atzma Barego. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk says, "You're not allowed to touch a nivlas behema tameya." So the Gemara says, "How can it be? Even a kohen is only prohibited from coming in contact with a mace adam, but a kohen is allowed to touch a dead mouse. Let's say in biology lab, they tell you to dissect a dead mouse. A kohen is permitted to mitami to a dead mouse. How can the pasuk say, 'Binivlosim loisi go'? That all of the Jews are not allowed to touch a dead animal. Why? What kind of a din is that?" Mara says it goes beregel. Anshalah shigolim. Chayv onim tairatzma beregel.
Just not regel.
Oh, so the Rosh understood that according to Rav Sadigon, the din even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So most of the poskim disagree. The famous Agasarya has a chuvah. He said, what are they talking about? Chayv onim tairatzma regels, because there's a chiv aliyah leregel. You have to enter into the Azor and bring korbanos. This man is in. Nobody's entering into the Azor. There are no korbanos. There is no Azor. There's nothing. How can you say chayvonim? So that's a third shot. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan and others say. The Rav Sadigon meant based on the pasuk lefnei Hashem Tetoru, that before you enter into kedushas Yom Kippurim, you should be mitari yourselves and go to mikveh. So these are three different pshatim. The simple pshat, the way it says in the Ramah, is that going to mikveh on erev Rosh Hashanah, erev Yom Kippur, is because of keri, and that's how it says. There's a sefer Shadus Tshuvas Men Hashemayim. One of the Talmidim of the Rabbeinu Tam. His name was also Rabbeinu Tam. His name was Yankif. Rabbeinu Tam's name was Yankif. So they called him Rabbeinu Tam. Yankif Ish Tam Yoshev Ahol. His name wasn't Tam T-O-M. His name was Rabbeinu Yankif. So he had a Talmid whose name was also Yankif. He had a Talmid. Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmid by the name of Peter. Rabbeinu Petra. Peter and Tam. Yeah. So Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmid whose name was Yankif. So he's also known as Rabbeinu Tam. So he used to have dreams. And when he went to sleep at night, he would always be thinking and learning. He used to have dreams about learning. So he used to ask the angels in his dreams, what's the halacha in this case, what's the halacha in that case? When he woke up in the morning, he would record everything. So there's such a say, v'shalas ha-tshuvas men ha-shamayim. So it's a question, to what extent do we rely on these dreams? But the sefer exists. It's from the days of the Balei
HaTosafot.
Okay, so that's a different reason. But the Ramah says the only reason the Ramah has for the Tevilah and the Mikra and Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, is only because V'choshesh for Takana Sezra for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's what it says in the Shavuos Men HaShamayim. Even though all year long we're mekel, like the Rambam, that the din of Takana says it doesn't apply even for davening, but for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we should be machmir. Then the Rosh quotes, the Rosh understood the Rav Sadia Gaon that is based on Chayiv Adam Taratzma Beregel Gara Din Daraisa. Not a Takana says it, but that's very questionable. Chayiv Adam Taratzma Beregel, the Pashas only applies to Sholosh Golim and there's a Chayiv Aliyah Regel. Doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to Bizman Hazeh. We're Tomei anyway. We're all Tomei Mesim anyway. What is going to help? You're going to go to Mikveh for Tumas Balkeri. Going to be a Tomei Mace anyway. So that's what the Shargis Arya has a whole tshuva. He says he doesn't agree with that reason. Then that's a separate reason that you say Lifnei Hashem Tetoro. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan writes. He thinks Rav Sadia Gaon never meant because of Balkeri. He didn't mean because of Takanas Ezra. And he didn't mean Chayiv Adam Taratz Mebreg. He meant a different mitzvah. Lifnei Hashem Tetoro. Before you enter into Yom Kippur, you should be Tovel in the mikveh. And then that's a fourth reason that others, they quote from the Maharil, that just like a ger habole his gayer has to go through tefillah in the mikveh, so a person that does an avera, a mumer, in a certain sense, loses his kedushas Yisrael to a certain degree. He's mechal le kedushas Yisrael. So when a person does tshuva, a bal tshuva should go to mikveh like a ger habole his gayer. He wants to accept upon himself kedushas Yisrael. So that reason only applies to Erev Yom Kippur. That wouldn't apply to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is the time that we talk about doing tshuva. You should do tshuva all year long. But the idea that the tefillah in the mikvah is like a ger habole his gayer, that's for the tefillah of Erev Yom Kippur. So those are the four reasons that the poskim give for this Rav Sadia Gaon, why people are mahara to go to the mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur.
Rav Sadia Gaon, but he says only Erev Yom Kippur, right? He doesn't say in the Bible.
He only speaks about Erev Yom Kippur
on the seventh hour. The time says it.
Some say the seventh hour. So that's a shaila. Yeah, so that's a shaila where Rav Amram going. What did he mean? You should be tabled the seventh hour. So some say seventh hour is right after Chatzoy. So some interpret that what he meant, Rav Amram going, meant was if you table in the mikveh before Chatzoy, it's not good enough. Has to be Dafke Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon, in Shor Shviyas. And others. So then the Chayyadim writes not so. The Chayyadim writes, you shouldn't be Tovel in the mikveh before an hour before Chatzos. Where did that come from? An hour before Chatzos. It says, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Yom Kippur, you shouldn't be Tovel before an hour before Chatzos. What's that? It's an hour before Chatzos. What is that? Sitzrei Torah. Rav Moshe Sternbuch quotes a Mekubal, who said a fascinating interpretation, that there are time zones. We're 7 hours behind Yerushalayim. The Chayyadim lived in Vilna. Vilna is 1 hour to the west of Yerushalayim. So the reason why the Chayyadim allows you to be Tovel an hour before Chatzos is because in Yerushalayim it's already after Chatzos. So in America you can be Tovel 7 hours before Chatzos if the Mekubal that he spoke to was right, that the reason why the Chayyadim allows you to be Tovel in the mikveh an hour before Chatzos, because Vilna is an hour to the west of Yerushalayim, so New York is 7 hours to the west of Yerushalayim, so you can be Tovel 7 hours before Chatzos. That's quite a kula. That's a question. Yeah, the Shane Carey doesn't make a difference, but if he said that somehow this is a hachana for Yom Kippur, so that's the shana. Does it have to be after Chatzos?
I vaguely remember Moshe Feinstein
So others argue with the Chayyadim. See, the Chayyadim gets this einfall from that tour. The tour quotes the Goyim who say you should be tovel in mikveh b'shor shviyas. Shor shviyas is right after Chatzos. Chayyadim says for some reason or another an hour before Chatzos. And others ding zachan, they say no. When the Goyim said b'shor shviyas, they meant faket. They didn't mean you shouldn't go to mikveh earlier. No, you want to go in the morning, that's fine. They meant to say there are those who insisted that you have to go to mikveh after mincha on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Goyim said, no, you can be tovel in the mikveh even b'shor shviyas. You want to be tovel b'shor shviyas is also echad, also okay. Also okay. That's a shaila. That's that person, he wants to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur in the morning. Is there anything wrong with that? When you do something in the morning of Erev Shabbos, or Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, is that called the Hachonah for Rosh Hashanah? That's too far in advance. Adarab, the Mishnah Berurah wants to say that all the Hachonah should be done Erev Shabbos early in the morning. You shouldn't do Hachonahs late in the... The Mishnah Berurah thing thinks all achanah should be done Friday in the morning. He thinks even though you're not allowed to go shopping before you daven shachris, he thinks maybe you're allowed to go shopping for challis on Erev Shabbos before shachris if you're afraid they're going to be sold out, because that's a mitzvah. That's not only your tzarech. And he says the mitzvah is only fulfilled if you do it Friday in the morning. You do it Friday afternoon, he thinks that is no good. There is a Gemara in Nozir on Daf Dalet on the base in the beginning of Nozir that they pilpul about. The Gemara says in Nozir, there's a plain Nozir who's a Nozir for however long he picks, minimum of 30 days, it can be 30 years, as long as he wants. Then there's a Nozir Oilam, then there's a Nozir Shimshon, three different kinds of Nozir. So Nozir Oilam, he accepts upon himself to be a Nozir for the rest of his life. So he never takes a haircut. You're going to have very long hair. I remember I met the Nozir Taker. Rav Kook had a Talmud who was a Nozir. So his yarmulke was sitting over here, and he had all the hair in between his head and his yarmulke. Yarmulke was sitting a few inches above his head. He was a holy tzaddik. That's Rav Asher Yoshe Cohen's father, was a Nozir. When he met Rav Kook in Europe, he was so overwhelmed. He just, he heard him, there was no minyan. He was in a hotel. Rav Kook was in a hotel. Rav Kook never belonged to the Mizrahi. He always belonged to the Aguda. On principle. I'm not sure what the principle was. He never wanted to join the Mizrahi. And when he was appointed a member of Dvad Matzah Gedolei HaTorah, see, he left Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time. He left Eretz Yisrael in order to attend the Knesia in Switzerland. And then the First World War broke out, and he never got the Knesia never took place. And he got stuck in Switzerland. He couldn't go back to Eretz Yisrael, so that's when he went to London. And he had a Rabbanus there for 2 years or so. So part of the time when he was traveling to the Knesia, he was staying in a hotel, and he was davening shachris in his room. He was saying karbanis in his room. There was no minyan. So the Nozir was in the adjacent room, in the next room. When he heard Rav Kook say the karbanis, his heart melted, and he felt, that man is my Rebbe. He's going to follow him. He had learned in the, he was always a religious man, the Nozir. He learned in Balazhin, but he was going to university. He was studying comparative religion. So he, when he heard the Rav Kook say karbanis, his heart melted away, and he decided he's doing the wrong thing. He shouldn't be studying comparative religion. He has to learn by this holy tzaddik. And it was mekabel net in his ears as a kapara. He was always a shem shab, was always a religious man, as a kapara for having gone to university to study comparative religion, to study philosophy. He felt that it was treif. So he was a big tzaddik. So he was a nozer. So he had.
Any nozer today, his mom is like a nozer earlier, but he can't get out.
Can't get up.
Can't bring a call, and he's stuck.
He's stuck, right? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanayim. What's the nozer oilam? This kind of nozer oilam, does he ever had to take a haircut? So one tana in nozer davdalad and base. One tana is of the opinion. I don't think we pass on like this. One tana is of the opinion he's allowed to take a haircut every erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so what's the difference between him and everybody else? Everybody else only takes a haircut once a month. But what about the bnei malachim? The Bnei Malachim, the Gvirim, they take a haircut every Friday also. So what's the difference between him and everybody else? Nozer Olam.
After 30 days, I believe.
A different opinion. Nachatana. And one Tana says, and one Tana says, one Tana says, Achas L'Lamad Yom. And one Tana says, every Erev Shabbos. How can it be? Every Erev Shabbos, the Bnei Malachim also do the same. So the Gemara says, no, the Bnei Malachim, they're allowed to take a haircut even in the morning on Erev Shabbos. And the Nozer Olam can only take the haircut Friday afternoon. So some of the Gedolim say, how did the Bnei Malachim take a haircut in the morning of Erev Shabbos? If you hold like this Chayodim, if you hold like this Rav Amram Kohen, that the Hachonis for Shabbos are only Nikr if you do it after Chatzos, if you do it too early in the day, so it's not Mitzurif to Shabbos. How can the Bnei Malachim take a haircut in the morning? The Mevatla Mitzvah of Hachonah L'Kvot Shabbos. You see, whatever you do in the morning is fine. Hachonah Adarav, you do in the morning is fine. Others time to know, fakir. That's exactly why the Nozer Olam is only allowed to take the haircut in the afternoon. It has to be nikah, that is l'shem Shabbos. The Malachim, the Bnei Malachim want to take a haircut every Friday. They don't have to have that. It should be nikah, that is l'shem Shabbos. So that's what they're allowed to do in the morning. If you want that, it should be nikah, l'shem Shabbos, then it has to be dafka Friday afternoon. That's the pilpul. Can you prove from that Gemara one way or the other? That Gemara, Nozer, Davdal, and Mebeis. Can you prove from that Gemara that doing something l'kvod Yom Kippur in the morning, going to mikveh and erev Yom Kippur in the morning, that it's also called l'kvod Yom Kippur? Or no, the proof is punk fakeret, that from the fact that the Nozer Olam, according to this Tana, is only allowed to take the haircut Friday afternoon, So that's a proof that it's only Metzurif to Shabbos if you do in the afternoon. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah says, Adarabba, the Ikar Hachana for Shabbos should be Dafka in the morning. Shouldn't wait till the afternoon. And here he quotes the Chayyadim, he shouldn't go to Mikveh before an hour before Chatzos. That's what they all ask. Where did the Chayyadim get this from? They don't know what the Makar is. Anyway, here the Gemara has the first daf in the last perek in Yuma. The Gemara has a machlekes of Yechon Reish Lakish. What's the din if a person eats a chatzis shir on Yom Kippur? You're not allowed to have achila. You're not allowed to have shtiya. So what if the person eats a chatzis shir of achila shtiya? It's aser. Is it aser in the Torah or is it aser in the Rabbanim? So we pass on like Rabbi Yechon. Whenever there's a machlekes of Yechon Reish Lakish, we always pass on like Rabbi Yechon. The Gemara says there are only three exceptions to the rule where we pass on like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yechon. So we pass like Rabbi Yechon. The Chatzis Shir is awesome in Atur. The Chassam Sefer points out in the Chidushim on Nizdaf, this is Bemis, a big Chidush. Chatzis Shir awesome in Atur by Chazem, by Basa Becholov, by Lindavelis and Treifus. That I understand better. Bottom line, you're eating non-kosher food. But here on Yom Kippur, the whole vart is Inui. And the Chachamim want Mishayer that if you eat the Kosevis Hagasa food, that's Mevatel Inui. And if you drink a maloy lugma of beverages, that's mevatel inui. So chatzis shir is really not mevatel inui. So I would have thought that even Rabbi Yechonim would agree to Reish Lakish here. So here for sure chatzis shir should be mutam in atur. Even if you adopt Rabbi Yechonim's position by non-kosher food, the chatzis shir is asam in atur. But over here, by inui, it would have made sense that here I should say chatzis shir should be mutam in atur. So the Gemara says not so. Even by achila b'yam kippur, even achila shdiya on yam kippur, where the whole vart is one of inui, is still say the chatzis shir is osman atar. So that's how we pass in la'alocha. So that's why there's a peledik sefer achinuch. Sefer achinuch writes, if a chayla she'ein bo sakone, chayla she'ein bo sakone, should eat pachas mikishir. Chayla she'ein bo sakone, if chatzis shir is osman atar. It's an avera deraisa. So the only hat he have if there's a suffix sakana, sfek sfek of a sakana. But he says a choylu she'ein bo sakana is permitted to eat chatzis shir and to eat pachas mikisha. He eats a little bit now. He waits 10 minutes. Eats another little bit. What do you mean? It's an isa deraisa. How can he be mater by a pachas mikishir? So the Minchas Chinuch says he doesn't understand what the Sefer Achinuch is talking about. How can it be? You only mater pachas mikishir if there's a choylu she'esh bo sakana because it's an isa deraisa. So Rav Velvel of Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam a famous biur on this Sefer Achinuch. So he says the Sefer Achinuch means that we only permit a person to eat on Yom Kippur if there's a sakona, there's a suffix sakona. But there are two kinds of people. Let's say there's a healthy person and the doctor says if he's going to fast, then he may put his life into danger. He better eat. Otherwise, he may get into danger. So that's he's not a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. He's not sick yet. He's a healthy person. He always eats breakfast, lunch, and supper. He always eats normal meals. And the doctor says this patient is a weak person. We should allow him to eat on Yom Kippur because fasting may cause him to become sick. So then the Sefer Achinuch writes, you only let him eat if he can survive, if he can pull through Yom Kippur. Not just pull through Yom Kippur. Sometimes the Rabbanim and the doctors think that a choyle she'esh b'sakana is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and if there's a sakana, he may die today. That's not true. If there's a sakana, he may die a minute earlier than otherwise. Let's say this person looks like he's going to live at Me'er V'yesh M'shana. And the doctor says, if you're going to let him fast today on Yom Kippur, he's only 20 years old. Doctor says, he has a condition, if he's going to fast today, he won't be able to live till 120. We're afraid he may die a day earlier, may die an hour earlier. That's also called Chayla She'esh B'Sakana. Doesn't have to be a sakana. I met a man, he tells me his wife died, he told me his first wife died, because she had some kind of medical condition, and the Rabbanim asked the doctors, is it a Chayla She'esh, if she fasts on Yom Kippur, do they think she will die? So the doctor thought, do you think she'll die on Yom Kippur? So he said, no, she's not going to die. But she fasted on Yom Kippur, she died clearly earlier than she would have otherwise died. So that's also called Chayla She'esh B'Sakana. If you have a condition and fasting is going to cause you to die earlier than otherwise, even a minute earlier, that's called Chayla She'esh B'Sakana. That's a double portion like that. this man had titus against the Rabbanim and the doctors didn't communicate with each other. So he lost his wife. She was going to die anyway, but she died earlier than otherwise. He left him with little children, with little Yisayim. So that's what Avelwala Soloveitchik says. The pshat in the Sefer Chinuch is like this. We only allow a person to eat pachas mikishir if he's a chodesh, if there's a suffix sakana. If there's no sakana, the Sefer Chinuch didn't mean ein bo sakana, you allow a person to eat chatzishir. Chatzishir we paskin is an isa deraisa, and the only heter is when there's a sakana. But there are two cases. You have a person who's basically healthy, he's a little weak, but he's basically healthy, and the doctors are concerned if the person will fast on Yom Kippur, he may get sick. Then you have another person, he just had surgery. This person already is a chodesh yesh b'sakana. So that's what the Sefer HaChinuch meant to say. If you have a chodesh yesh b'sakana, the person is already in a state of sakana, and we want to pull him out of the sakana. Not we want to prevent him from becoming a chodesh yesh b'sakana. He already is. He or she already is a chodesh yesh b'sakana. Then you wouldn't insist on pachas mikishir. Then you let the person eat to his heart's content. Whatever he would normally eat. He would have a salami sandwich with soup and with dessert. He gives him to eat, let him eat everything. But if he's a healthy person, but by fasting, he'll put his life into he may or not, may not put his life into danger. So then you would insist on eating pachas mikishir. And this is based, this is based on a Magen Mishnah. That the Magen Mishnah comments on the side of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that if you have a cholo she'esh b'sakana, you're allowed to do whatever is necessary in order to save the person's life on Shabbos. You can drive him to the hospital, and you can do malachas derais, and you can do whatever is necessary to save his life. So the Magen Mishnah writes on the side of the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Magen Mishnah in Hilchos Shabbos, halacha l'maaseh. When you have a cholo she'esh b'sakana, he already is a cholo she'esh b'sakana. And you're trying to pull them out from the status of Yesh V'Sakana, you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos Osen Lo Kol Tzorachov. You're allowed to do whatever you would normally do in the weekdays, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But this activity I would do in the weekdays, this is not going to make or break his ability to survive. He's going to survive anyway without this. Let's say, the Cholish Yesh V'Sakana, the doctor says we have to give treatments and so on, and you have to give him food on Shabbos, fine. He can eat cold food also. He can eat cold soup. He's going to survive. He won't enjoy it. Normally, we would give him warm soup, and we'd warm up the chicken and give him everything warm. So the Magen Mishnah says, even though the doctors don't think that the heating up, turning on the fire and heating up the food is going to make or break his ability to survive, still, since he's a chodesh yesh b'sakana, asma kol tzorachov, you're allowed to do everything that you would normally do on the weekday. So that's right. Hutra, yeah, hutra. So that was the psak in Valojin. The Netziv, Valojin Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. It was founded by Rav Chaim Valojin in 1801, and it lasted till 1891. Then the government closed it. So Rav Chaim, so the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years, a long time. 39 years he was the president of Valojin Yeshiva. So he was a young man when he came to Valojin. So he writes in his Sefer, he heard from the Nachlas David, Rab David Tebel, who was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Valojin, that this was the Psak HaMekubal in the city Valojin and in the Yeshiva, that a Cholo Sheyesh B'Sakana on Yom Kippur eats normally. You don't tell him to eat Pachas Mikashir. The only one who has to eat Pachas Mikashir to try to minimize the Issa, Chatzishir is an Issa Deraisa, but there's no Kuris. So the only one we encourage to minimize the Shir of the Achila to eat Pachas, if the person is healthy, but we're afraid that by fasting, he will put his life into danger, so then we tell him he's not yet a chole, he's not in the status of a chole she'esh b'sakana. We want to prevent him from becoming a chole she'esh b'sakana, so then we try to minimize the issa, we tell him eat pachas mikashir. But if he already is a chole she'esh, he already has a life-threatening condition, and we're trying to pull him out from that status, and just like on Shabbos, we would permit Kol Tzorachov to be Mechal Shabbos completely for all the normal needs that he has. Even though those needs we don't think are going to help his chances of surviving, just to make life more comfortable. So on Yom Kippur also, we would encourage him that he should eat regular meals. So that was Rav Soloveitchik. He used to always say over that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, used to pass him like that. Rav Chaim got it from Rav Chaim Valojina. Rav Chaim didn't invent the Psak. That was the Psak. Rav Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv. And the Netziv was a young man when he learned in Valozhin Yeshiva. He married the daughter of Rabbi Tzala Valozhin. Rabbi Tzala was the son of Rabbi Chaim Valozhin. The Netziv married the granddaughter of Rabbi Chaim Valozhin, and Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So this was the psak hamakubal in the yeshiva and in the city. Rabbi Chaim Valozhin was the rav in the city. This was his psak. When you have a choyla, sheesh b'sakana, so you let him eat on Yom Kippur normally. That's not the common practice. Common practice is that all the rabbanim insist that whoever has to eat on Yom Kippur, even a woman just had a baby in the hospital, so he always encouraged everybody to eat pachas machas mikishiyah. So Rav Soloveitchik Gov used to tell over when his father took his first rabbanis in Europe. So Rav Chaim, his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, made him promise, and he shook his hands at the Kiyaskaf, he's going to paskan like his psak, like this psak in Valozhin. That when you have a chodesh eish b'sakana, you let him eat normal meals. Osin la kol tzarachov.
Do you wait like the day until it's between each
year? Yeah. You wait a few minutes in between each chotzi shir to make sure it shouldn't be mitzur of yachad.
The famous story of Vilna, 1848.
I got the right idea.
There was a
plague.
And the
Pashashiv
was
out
in front.
And
everybody
ate the bread. Abzol Salanter. Abzol Salanter made kiddush on the bima. And he sat down and he ate some cake, and he insisted everybody should eat, because if they're not going to eat, they're going to be weaker. They'll be weaker, so the epidemic will spread even more. Yeah, cholera epidemic, right? So the rabbanim were very upset why he didn't consult. They were big dayanim in Vilna. He didn't consult. He was afraid they're going to start asking, and someone's going to want to be machmer. So he made kiddush on the beam, and he told everybody they should all eat. So they were all upset why he did such a vilde zach. So he said he's going to give a shiur. So a few days later, he announced he's going to give a shiur. So they all thought he's going to give a shiur on that topic. And Nechtigatok just gave a knockout shiur to show that he knows how to learn. And they should listen to what he said. He gave a shiur pilpul. Had nothing to do with the shaila of eating on Yom Kippur. Yeah, that's a famous story. He made kiddush over a cup of wine. That's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. When you have a chayla who has to eat on Yom Kippur, so should he say kiddush or not? He doesn't need the wine to live. He can eat the cake. The wine doesn't really help him live. So maybe he should bedavka not say kiddush. And others say no, he should say. You don't say the kiddush, asher kiddush on, asher bachabanim v'kolam, rabbanim kolosh, and that kiddush you don't say. The only shad is whether you say bar priagofen or not. Like on Shabbos morning, like on Yom Tov morning.
So is machlokes when Yom Kippur falls at any time or just on Shabbos?
There's an added machlekes if it falls out on Shabbos. There are those who say Yom Kippur falls out in the middle of the week, you don't make Kiddush, but Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so the chayla has to eat should say Kiddush. Most say you never say Kiddush. Most say a person has to eat on Yom Kippur never says any Kiddush. I think that's the accepted psa. They say the story goes that he had cake. There's an Indian to have lechem mishnah and cake also. When you make a kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, whatever, on a yontif, you make kiddush and you have cake, so the Netziv has a chew about that. The Meshav Dover, he says, more correct is to have two pieces of cake.
That's no problem.
No, there is. I remember years ago in the yeshiva, they always had a kiddush on Rosh Hashanah before Tkiyas, because it took they used to daven until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they made kiddush before, so it took an extra hour until you walked to the cafeteria, till you walked back, till you made kiddush. So I remember they had a stack of cake. So I remember a lot of the boys, we grabbed two pieces of cake. So one of the Bali Musa was there, so he was complaining. Look at the Brachim, how inconsiderate they are. They're grabbing two pieces of cake, and it's going to turn out later on that other people are not going to have any cake at all. So look how inconsiderate they are. So I happened to be standing, I never ate by the Kiddush. So I just used to walk across the street with everybody else when they went to the Kiddush. So I said, maybe he doesn't mean to be a hag. He just wants to have a lechem mishnah. Because there are those who are makpid that even if you're having cake, you should have two pieces of cake. So this Bal Musa said he never thought of that possibility. That there's an inyan of lechem mishnah to have two. But then Tziv writes like that. Tziv writes in Valozhin, usually by Shalashuda's time, there weren't too many shlemas. Everybody had already had so many rolls on Shabbos. By the time he came every Shabbos, by the time he came Shalashuda's, so there are a couple of shleimas and kol hakodim zocha. So the first ones who said amoite, they used to have lechem mishnah, and all the rest didn't have. But he says the minhag always was that they would take two prusas, two pieces of bread, and make lechem mishnah over that. So others would make fun. What kind of lechem mishnah? Two prusas. You have to have two shleimas. If you have two shleimas, there is no lechem mishnah. So the Netziv thinks that the practice was correct. He says even if you're not, you don't have shleimas at all, You should have two broken pieces of cake, two cut pieces of challah. It's better to have two than to have one. That's what he writes. Preferable is to have two shleimus. But if you don't have two shleimus, the second best is to have two prusas.
What if you have one piece, but if you break it in half, each one is still big enough, bigger than the kazai? Should you take one and break it in half, and now you have two?
I don't think so. No, it's better to have one shleima than to have. I don't think so.
No, but let's say one is already not shleima.
Even
the one is not a
shleima.
Did you break it into two,
so that
you have two pieces?
Oh, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't know.
The concept of two pieces, not only for the Shabbos, or what about the Shabbos or the even two?
So the Shabbos also, yeah. More correct is he should have two shleimas. In the Balashan he writes, that's the way it turned out. By the time he came Shalosh Udus, all the shleimas, the first couple of people had shleimas, and the rest had only prusas.
Why, they mostly
you have to be considerate to wait till everybody comes, so they'll be might see all the others.
He
was afraid if you'll tell all the Balabatim they should eat Pachas Pachas Mashiach, he was afraid someone for sure is going to get sick and die. People are going to start praving Midas Chasidus. If you have one person that you're dealing with, so you tell a person every couple of minutes eat less than the shear and shine. But if you're dealing with the hundreds of people, so then someone's going to misunderstand.
So that's why even he ate.
He had to show everybody that it's absolutely had to gomer, yeah?
Was this shayla too? He ate even though he knew he was not in Sankana. So the question was Chatei Bishvil, Zanka, Cheren. He was doing it, he knew he was not in his Sankana. So the question was he allowed to eat to help out others?
I don't remember. That's part of the story also.
I don't know.
Don't remember. I have to look in Tanuas HaMusar. He writes up the whole story based on the newspaper articles that they had at that time. There used to be a lot of Yiddish newspapers then in Vilna. Yeah. The Mishnah speaks about Chinuch, Yom Mechanech, children to fast on Yom Kippur. It's a Mishnah, Pei Beis Amid Aleph, the last Perek. So we paskin la'alochem that if a boy or a girl, the girl becomes bas mitzvah at the age of 12, a boy becomes bas mitzvah at the age of 13, so if the child is healthy enough, so you should be mechanech the children to fast the whole day 2 years before they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. And 2 years before, 2 years before, if they're healthy enough, you should encourage them that they should fast part of the day. And before that, before 4 years before, you should not allow them to fast at all. That's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, because they may get sick. Usually the children like to show how healthy they are, so they want to show shtick that they're fasting the whole day. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Yerushalmi, that that's not proper. You should only have 2 years before bar mitzvah, you have to, if they're healthy enough, you should insist they should fast the whole day. And 2 years before that, they should fast the half a day.
For a boy, yeah.
Yeah, by a girl is even a year earlier. Yeah, there is a big machlekes harishonim. They are healthy.
Yes, I mean
they're
so good.
I mean, so what's so bad if you encourage them to fast? That could be. I don't know. That's a good question.
Do people hold today like three tanais in before? Where's the makkah from?
I don't know. People say three tanais and before, so you haven't fast Tisha B'Av and Aser B'Tavis and this. So Mishnah Berurah quotes all the Achrayim that there's no chinuch on Tisha B'Av and on Aser B'Tavis and some Gedal. No chinuch at all. Even if the child is going to be bar mitzvah the next day, there's no chinuch on Tisha B'Av. Some say because there's no chinuch on Avelis, right? Now Moshe Feinstein quotes that from the Shagas Aryeh, that the reason why there's no chinuch on fasting on Tisha B'Av and Aser B'Tavis, because fasting on Tisha B'Av and some Gedalia is an Indian of Avelis, we paskin is not chinuch on Avelis. Rav Moshe doesn't like that reason. He gives a different reason.
Yeah, we have little children put on sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gemara has that you shouldn't allow children to wear leather shoes. Also, lachila biyadayim, you're not allowed to tie onto the little children leather shoes on Yom Kippur, because that's not so difficult to have them wear sneakers. Yeah. Tanis Esther should be different because, according to this explanation of the Shag Zak, because Tanis Esther is not a Tainish al Avelus. That's what the Rishonim call a Tainish al Simcha. So there the Pashtus says that it should be the same as Yom Kippur. It should be Mechanech the children to fast. Yeah.
What did Moshe say about not fasting on Tishba before? He said he didn't like the
Shag Zak. Shag Zak says the reason why there's no Chinuch is because it's an Indian of Avelus, and there's no Chinuch on Avelus. So Moshe doesn't like that reason. He thinks that you don't do chinuch because it's too taxing, it's too difficult. So he thinks that even Tainus Esther also you wouldn't do chinuch. So why is Yom Kippur different? So he says, no, Yom Kippur is their ice, but all the others are their rabbanon. So since it's uncomfortable, it's extremely uncomfortable, so that's why there's no chinuch on the other tanis.
What about Isha Muberet? Let's say she's in the third month, then she finds out if she's pregnant. Can she fast?
So the Gemara in Pesachim talks about that in the middle of Makom Shenagu. So the Gemara says, on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, an Isha Muberes or Menika, if she's nursing the baby or pregnant, is supposed to fast all day long, unless on Yom Kippur the doctor thinks that there's a real Safek Sakana, or on Tisha B'Av if the doctor thinks that it's a Chayla Shemba Sakana. Let's say the woman is throwing up the whole time. And she'll eat something, she won't throw up. And she throws up, that ruins a whole day. She's nauseous, she doesn't feel well a whole day. But that's called the Chayla Shem B'Sakana. So Chayla Shem B'Sakana, we Paskin is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av, if that'll solve the problem. If he's still going to be a Chayla Shem B'Sakana, and the eating is neither here nor there, it's Lamala V'Lamara, then he's not allowed to eat. But if a person is a Chayla Shem B'Sakana, can't function normally, and by eating or drinking, they will be able to function normally. So we Paskin, a Chayla Shem B'Sakana is allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur not. Only Mutav is a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, Safik Sakana. So the Gemara says there that as far as Tzam Gedalia, Sar B'Tei B'Shavas B'Tamuz, so that we automatically declare every Meuberes and Menika as a Chayla Shem B'Sakana, even if it doesn't seem to be the case. Because those Taneisim are more kal, some Gedalia, Sar B'Tevis is more kal. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, we would only permit a person, a Muberes and Menika, to eat if they really are a Chayla Shem B'Sakana. If they're really throwing up, or they're nauseous, or they have to lay in bed a whole day, and by eating they'll be able to function normally, so then that's called a Chayla Shem B'Sakana, they're allowed to eat. And on Yom Kippur, there are three different eating. And on Yom Kippur, it's only Mutar to eat if there's a real Safek Sakana. There is a famous Machlokes HaRishonim on the Mishnah here, Muberes. Mishnah paid Beis Amad Alpha. A pregnant woman smells food on Yom Kippur. She has a desire to eat the food, so there's a suffix sakana. So you give her the food, even if it's trefa food, even if it's kachim, you give her the food. So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Who is b'sakana? The uber is b'sakana, or the mother is b'sakana? Do you say pikuach nefesh of an uber is doicha isuri Torah? Do you say only pikuach nefesh of a person who's born already? V'chai b'hem lo she'amas b'hem only applies to people who are alive. In the days of the Rishonim, this was a big heated debate. You look in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say one word, one way or the other. One way or the other. So we assume Lahokel, they quote from the Chazon Ish. We paskin Lahokel, that even if there's no sakana at all to the mother, it's only sakana to the uber, it's also considered sakana snefoshes. How can you ever tell? The Rosh says, the Rosh writes, he thinks the whole debate is all academic. He says, if the woman may lose a pregnancy, so she can lose her life. If she lose the baby, she can lose her life. Women sometimes die from if they lose the baby. So the Rosh writes, in the days of the Rishonim, they didn't have such doctors who were such experts to know, or laymen, let's say. The laymen for sure won't know. If a pregnant woman doesn't feel well, she doesn't know, is her life in danger or the fetus's life is in danger? So we don't know, so it's a suffix. But even if you have a doctor and she's in a hospital, everything is under control. And the doctor says, Baradois, the mother's life is not in danger, only the uber. So we paskin la lochim. Shulchan Aruch doesn't give any psak. They quote the Chazon Ish, paskin la loch la maisa la hakil. That's also called suffix, sakonis nefoshes. So that's doche yam kippur, doche shabbos, doche everything. See, on this chinuch, on the sugya of chinuch here, pei beis amir aleph, the Rishonim have a machloikis, is is there a mitzvah chinachan lois ese, or is only mitzvah chinachan ese?
On whom? The father or the child?
Let's say the child is being mechal Shabbos.
Yeah.
So does the father have an obligation to stop the child from being mechal Shabbos or not? So there's a gemara in the end of Yevomis in Perek Cherish. The gemara has a debate, and many rishonim paskin kot nechal nevelis ein bezem mitzvah lafrisha. The kid can eat chazer. And the Bezin doesn't have an obligation to stop him from doing so. So all the Rishonim ask, what happened to the mitzvah of chinuch? What do you mean? Cut the is main Bezin mitzvah of So there's a big split in the Rishonim, 50-50. Big split. Oh, so half of the Rishonim say Bezin doesn't have a din of chinuch. The parents have a din of chinuch on the child. So the Bezin is never mechuyev to be mechanach someone else's child. But the father has to, the parents have to beat the kid up. If they see the kid is eating chaza, so kot neich on the veilus, the father has to beat him up and see to it that he stops eating the tray. The bezin never have zechiyah of chinuch. Other rishonim disagree, and they said bezok that the mitzvah of chinuch is only on parents. Why should you say it's only on the parents? Din of chinuch is on all the adults. They have to see to it that the children do their mitzvahs. So how come it says kot neich on the veilus and bezin mitzvah lafrishoy? So the other answered mamish 50% of the rishonim say like this. 50% say like that. So the other half of the Rishonim say the din of chinuch only applies to mitzvahs, even though the kotn is not mechuyev till a bar mitzvah. But there's a concept of eina mitzvah v'yoseh. A woman volunteers to listen to tkiyush. A woman volunteers to sit in sukkah. There's a concept of eina mitzvah v'yoseh. So a child before bar mitzvah will volunteer to do a mitzvah seseh. There's a concept of eina mitzvah v'yoseh. So that's when there's a mitzvah chinuch. To see to it that the children before by mitzvah, even though they're not mitzvah and they're not mechuyev, they should still fulfill the mitzvahs. But there is no eina mitzvah v'yosan alois esei. Let's say a kohen is not allowed to go to a cemetery. Ich bin ishken kohen, so I'll be machma. I won't go to a cemetery. What midas chasidus is there? If it's mutter, it's mutter. There is no mitzvah. If you're talking about volunteering a mitzvah, so there's a concept of eina mitzvah v'yosan. So it makes sense to be mechanach diktanim. They should fulfill mitzvah seseh. But there is no chinuch on lois seseh. That's the big machlokes in Rishonim. Is the chinuch on mitzvah lois seseh or not? So here it says beferish that there is chinuch on fasting on Yom Kippur. So it does not indicate that there's an inyan of chinuch even on Averis. The secret that the child doesn't do Averis. So the Rishonim say no, it doesn't prove anything. One who fasts on, one who eats on Yom Kippur gets malchus because he did an Avera. And one who fasts on Yom Kippur, the Rambam writes, "Hare zekiyah mitzvah saseh." Fasting on Yom Kippur is a kiyah mitzvah. Not only eating on Yom Kippur constitutes an avera that you get malchus. The Mishnah in Makkah says, "Elohein aloiken." One who eats on Yom Kippur has violated an avera and he deserves malchus. But one who fasts on Yom Kippur, the Rambam says, "Hare zekiyah mitzvah saseh." So maybe that's why the ketanim. Maybe that's why there's a din of chinuch on ketanim on Yom Kippur, because fasting on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah saseh. Both. The Mishnah says that there's malchus. There's only malchus if he violated an avera. So somewhere in the Chumash there is some lois esei. So the Gemara is fishing around to discover where is there a pasuk? Where does it say? So the Rambam says it says hanefesha lois una, but that's not what it says. It doesn't say. Yeah. So that's a question. The Gemara works hard. There are Malkus. Where is there a Lois? But the Mishnah says there is a Lois essay. Because the Mishnah says you get Malkus. And it's problematic. The Tanoim clearly had a tradition that there is a Lois essay for eating on Yom Kippur. That could also be. Right. You're right. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is like that. In Makkos, that whenever this kareis is biyodua that there's a lois esei.
Implicit.
Yeah. So the Lech Mishnah says it's not so. You have a Pesach Amila. Mishnah says in the first Mishnah increases. You have to bring a korban Pesach, you have to be mala child. And if the person doesn't perform mila on himself, or a person doesn't bring a korban Pesach, so he's over and he's a kareis. There is no lois esei. Mishnah says it's only an essay. So the Lech HaMishnah is that kasha on the Pirush HaMishnais. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't say that. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnais, in the last parak, Elohein Aloiken, the last parak in Makkos, the third parak, the Rambam writes, whenever this chorus be a dua that is a lav. So the Lech HaMishnah says it's not correct. So the Pashta says that the Raman didn't really mean that there's a lav. He means that there's an Iser essay. There wouldn't be Koreis for failing to fulfill a mitzvah. The Raman means that over here, by Pesach HaMilah, the mitzvah has with it an Iser essay. Let's say there's a mitzvah to like tefillin every day. So you're going to say a person doesn't like tefillin has violated a mitzvah essay. He's not mekayim, it's a bitl essay.
But it says when he is able to put on the tefillin, there is a chiyuv to have tzitzis and all the others. I believe it's sukkah somewhere.
And if he doesn't do the tefillin, so hatam avatal gven mitzvah. You can't just say he was over an avera. But over here, the Rambam said. Okay, so he was mevatel a mitzvah, but over here by Pesach Hamila, since it has koreis, so the Rambam says here that's a dead giveaway that there's an iser essay, not just a kiyum essay. There's an iser essay. The one who doesn't bring korban Pesach, the one who's not mal himself, is over an avera. That's probably what the Rambam meant. He didn't necessarily mean that there's a lav. He meant that there's an iser essay.
Why can't you say it's a lav above the klal essay?
That's what he probably means.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The Gemara says lava b'machlala says, and I say with respect to malchus, because in order to get malchus, it has to be dumi the lav da chasima. Lav da chasima is written loy sachsam shor b'disha. So then the Gemara says, if we would say hisham and penaral, that's the equivalent of loy. So that's when you get to malchus. You only get malchus if you violate an aver which is similar to loy sachsam shor b'disha. Because though in Chumash Dvar Midarshan Smuchim, and those two psukim are one next to the other, V'hoyon bin Akosa Rosha is written next to the pasuk Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha. So you only administer Malkus. Bezdin only gives the punishment of Malkus if the person violated an Avera that's similar to Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha. So Gemara's Loshen, Gemara quotes Machlokes HaTanoim, in Psochim Adaf Mem Aleph. So we paskin that Lav Habo Machlal Asei means it's an assay with respect to Malkus, but with respect to all the other intents and purposes, it's really a lois assay. It is an iser assay, is an iser. When you get to Malkus, not because it's not dumi the lav da chasima. The way it appears in the Chumash, it doesn't say loy and it doesn't say sham pen v'yal. So that's why there's no Malkus. But basically, it is a lois assay. When you get to other dinim, we would say it is a lois assay. It's not an assay. That's a big deal in Rishonim, whether the mitzvah of chinuch is only on the father and the mother as well. There's a Mishnah in Nazir on Daf Chav Tes. The Mishnah says, "Ha'av mader es menav benazir." Only the father can force his son. The father has the ability to declare on his child before bar mitzvah, "Hereby declare that my son should be a nazir." The father can't say it on the daughter, and the mother can't say it on the son. Only the father and the son can declare that his son should become a nazir. So the Gemara says, "Where does it come from?" So one opinion that we passed on that is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And one opinion in the Gemara was that it's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's only mid the rabbanim midin chinuch. So the Gemara says, so what's that? Only a father on a son? Why not a father on a daughter? Why not a mother on a son? The Gemara says, no, chinuch is only a father on a son. The father has no chiyuv to be mechanech the daughters, and the mother has no chiyuv to be mechanech the sons. So it's a peladiki Gemara, all the Rishonim asked. The Gemara says on the first daf in Sukkot that there was Heleni Hamalka, and she had a lot of little sons, little children before bar mitzvah, and she had them all sit in the sukkah. And the Gemara says, mitam chinuch, she would certainly not violate the takana de rabbanon. The sukkah has to be a kosher sukkah, and based on the base. So the Gemara, you see the farish that the mother also has a din of chinuch on her children, and there are the Gemaras. Yeah. How can you say there's no chiyuv chinuch on your daughters and the mother does not? So most of the Rishonim assume there is a chiyuv chinuch on the father and the mother, on the sons and on the daughters. The Gemara in Nozir over there that says there's no chinuch on the father, on the daughter, mother, on the son, that's a different kind of chinuch. That a parent should have the right to force his child to become a Nozir. What kind of chinuch is that? I don't have to become a Nozir. But somebody grows up doesn't have to become a Nozir. So what kind of chinuch is that? Chinuch is, he encouraged the kid, he should daven, he should say bracha before he eats food, he should shake a lulav, he should bench, he should do all the mitzvahs atara properly. In mechanachim, he shouldn't do averis either, not to be mechal Shabbos, okay, not teach reif is fine. But chinuch, to be mechanach the child, to force upon the child that he should observe net and naziris. What kind of a chinuch is that? When he'll become an adult, he's not mechuyev to observe naziris. Yeah. Some Tanoim say, Machloge Satan, Nazir Zachaite. So that's what the Gemara says. That chinuch, that the parent has a right to force upon the child to observe Ned and Naziris, that's a special kind of chinuch. That's only a father on a son. Doesn't apply father on a daughter. Doesn't apply the mother on the children either. But normal chinuch, we don't do that kind of chinuch. Normal chinuch, of course, applies to the mothers and applies to the daughters as well. Applies to all the children.
What is that chinuch? What is that? What's that related to the father and the son?
I don't know. Midirabbanan. The Gemara says, not minatur. That kind of chinuch is midirabbanan. Apparently the father thinks it's a nice idea to observe Ned and Naziris, and he has a special relationship with his sons, more so than with the daughters. He wants his son to go along with him. So that midirabbanan, they invented that kind of chinuch also. The normal chinuch is more normal than that. Min haTorah, the chinuch only is to tell a child that when you grow up, you'll have to wear tzitzis when you grow up, you have to wear tefillin when you grow up, when you'll be bar mitzvah, you have to sit in sukkah, and you have to shake a lulav. But to force the child to shake the lulav now, that's only midirabbanan.
Father sees in his son that he needs this something extra, otherwise he's gonna go off.
Could be, okay. Okay.
Possibly,
yeah. So that's an unusual case of chinuch. That case of madras marabinoza, the Reish Lakish said that it's based on chinuch. That's an irregular din of chinuch. But the normal din of chinuch, that's how many Rishonim say. Normal din of chinuch applies to both parents and applies to all children, the sons and the daughters. On Yom Kippur, we daven not only Shachris Musaf in Mincha, in Myra the night before, we daven Ne'ilah as well. You have in the Mishnah like that. Ne'ilah, we always identify Ne'ilah with Yom Kippur. But strictly speaking, you look in the Mishnah, so Ne'ilah, they used to daven on every Tainas Tiba. The only thing is, ain't Tainas Tiba b'bavel chutz mi Tisha b'av mi Yom Kippur. So that's what the Rishonim asks. So why don't we daven Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? If the reason why you don't say Nila on the other Tanais, because ain't Tanisiba B'Babuchutz mi Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, so Tisha B'Av is a Tanisiba, so why not say Nila? So that's what the Rishonim explained. It says in the Megillah Secha, Gam Ki Ezra Kva Shaveh Asasam Tvilosim. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so the prayers are no longer accepted to the same extent. Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Shari Tvila. That's the Gemara in Perek HaZohav, Midla B'Av Metziah. So the whole idea of Ne'ilah, the Gemara says, especially the Yerushalmi, explains it even better than the Bavli. The whole idea of Ne'ilah is that you stand a better chance if you do Ribui Tefillah, if you daven another time and another time and another time, you keep on asking for the same thing time and time again, so you stand a better chance of having the Tefillahs accepted than if you only offer the prayer once or twice or three times. And Tainas Sibu, you guys, are because you have an Eis Tzara. So that's why you stand a better chance of having the tzara straightened out. If you do a Ribui Tefillah, you should add the extra tefillahs. So on Tisha B'Av, the pasuk tells us that nothing is going to help. Gam Kezer Gashaveh, Sasim Tefillosi. So that's why it doesn't make sense on Tisha B'Av to introduce tefillahs Ne'ilah. But Yom Kippur is the other day. Yom Kippur is a Tainas Tzipa. And it certainly is an Eis Tzara. It's a Yom Adin. It's the Gemara Chasima. Whether we're going to have a good year or not. So that's why there's an inyan of davening tefillos ne'ilah. When exactly is the zman of ne'ilah? So the Gemara has three different opinions in the Tanoim. One opinion is that ne'ilah should be bayom, it's a tefillos yom kippur, you have to daven and finish the whole ne'ilah in the daytime, before shkia. There were some places where there used to be mehadar to finish ne'ilah bayom, and then they would sit and learn. What are you going to do? You're going to sit and talk lashon hara?
But you said it in the morning that it's not ne'ilah.
It has to be towards the evening, yeah. Okay, but there's one opinion in Tanaim, you have to finish Ne'ilah mibod yom. The other opinion is, no, you can start Ne'ilah balayla. You can dav Ne'ilah balayla. Gemara has on the last daf, in Yuma, Pei Zainam and Beis, Amatzoy Yom Kippur, do you have to dav in Shmoneh Esrei of Ma'ariv or not? You have to say Kriya Shema with the brachas, those is upkiret. You have to say that part of Ma'ariv, but you have to dav in Shmoneh Esrei. So, well, you said Ne'ilah, so what more? You want to dav in another Shmoneh Esrei? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If you hold like the Tana, that you have to finish Ne'ilah before Shkia, so how can that count for Myra? Myra has to be Balayla, and this is Bayom. But if you hold like the Tana, that you can, it's optional. If you want, you can dab Ne'ilah Balayla, so Ne'ilah can substitute for Myra. So you don't have to. You don't have to daven maravam.
That is another deal.
Okay. So if you hold, you can daven nila balayla. So the nila counts for the extra tefillah. You don't have to daven maariv. You just have to say kriya shma with the brachas. But the tefillah nila that you'll say balayla will substitute for the maariv dikas shmoneh esrei.
In that case, why doesn't the most of the daven kriya make it that you don't have to say shmoneh esrei by nechma? Let's say you're davening most of when it's already man nechma.
Musaf Tosfos writes in Maseches Brachos that Musaf is only based on a neshama form sosenu. Let's say a person forgot to daven mincha, so there's a din of tashlum. He should daven ma'ariv a second time to make up for the mincha that he missed. Forgot to daven ma'ariv, so let him daven shachris twice. The second shmoneh esrei makes up for the ma'ariv. But Musaf Tosfos says there is no tashlumin because Musaf is not rachami. The reason why there's Tashlumin by Shachris and Minche Ma'ariv, because the tefillah is Rachmi Bakasha Sarachim. Even though you didn't ask Bizman, so you can daven a Tashlumin and you'll make up the tefillah is Rachmi Shaloi Bizman. Nahi, the Gemara said, Nahi, the Schar tefillah Bizmana he's not going to get, but he'll get Schar tefillah Shaloi Bizmana. But Musaf Taisa says, it's purely the idea of an Ashama form Svasenu. So there, it's not Shach to make Tashlumin. So Taisa says, Musaf is in Gansan a different thing. So that's why if you daven the Shemana Esri, let's say that it says in Shulchan Aruch, a person by mistake says Ata Kidashta for Mincha, or he says Ata Echad for Ma'ariv, or he says Yismach Moshe Matan Schelko, he mixes up the three Nischos of Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that he Yevad Yoyotze, because basically it's a Tefillah Shabbos. But if he says Musaf Dikas Shemana Esri for Mincha or for Shachris, then he's not Yoyotze. Musaf Dikas Shemoneh Esrei is a separate story. It's not nothing to do with Rachmi. Even though it has the same, it ends off the same Bakashas Sarochim of Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ira, but still, Musaf is only considered an Neshama form Sosein. But over here, if you daven Ne'ila, Balaila, so then the Gemara says, you Yotze Ma'ira, there's no need to daven Shemoneh Esrei Ma'ira. So we Lemaisa, don't follow either of these opinions. The one opinion is it can daven nila balayla. We don't follow that sheet. The other opinion, you have to finish bayom. We don't. Some kehilas used to be mahadir. They would finish nila before shkia, and then they would sit and wait to daven.
Ayin ponu. So that the evening.
Yeah. So we follow the opinion that's in the Yerushalmi, that the Rosh quotes over here, that as long as you begin nila before the shkia, even though the tchilas atfilas kaveya, that is called the Tfilos Yom Kippur. So then as long as he started Mibod Yom, then you can continue to daven Nila into the Laila. But since it's not really, you're not supposed to begin Balaila, so that's why you're not Yotze Ma'ariv. If the din would have been like the opinion in the Bavli that you can daven Nila Balaila Amitzoy Yom Kippur, then you wouldn't have to daven Ma'ariv. So we don't really follow that. We're only Mekel, if the Tchilos HaNila was by Yom, then you can continue to finish Nila Balaila.
How about did he have it some secret that daven
balayla
and they didn't follow that?
So what's the
shayla?
Should they make tashlumin?
No, should
they pat the myra? Or is it a brachal of atoli mean? I don't think we paskin like that. They really shouldn't daven nila. To begin to daven nila balayla, that's not right.
Yeah,
you should tell them not to. You should really tell them they shouldn't daven nila. Frapan, they missed it. They missed it, so they shouldn't daven nila. We really don't accept that opinion. More correct, we should accept the Tana. That's the gist of the Gemara, that you should really finish Mibo Yom. You should finish the whole nila by Yom. So we're makel to follow the Yerushalmi, so you have to have at least Hischilu Mibo Yom. But if they didn't even begin Mibo Yom, so they should really dispense with the whole nila. They shouldn't daven nila. That's not right. There was the Maharil records that there was an ongoing Chiluki days about Duchening by Ne'ila. Duchening by Ne'ila. The din is that, strictly speaking, you should really duchen every day, and you should duchen at the conclusion of the Chazaras HaShatz every day. So we don't allow duchening, Shachris, Musaf, fine, you can duchen. You don't allow duchening by Mincha because we're concerned about Shikris. The din is that a Kohen Sheshoser Revius Yayin, a Kohen who drank a little wine, is not allowed to duchen. So by the time you daven Mincha, so they were concerned that maybe the coin will be a little shik and he won't realize it. No, so all year long. So all year long, we don't allow anyone to duchen by mincha. So what if it's a tiny tzibur, any tiny tzibur? So everybody's fasting. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So we pass like the tanoim, we make a gzeira loyplur. Since on a normal mincha, on a normal day, we don't allow duchenim because we're concerned about shikris. Even on a tiny tzibur, everybody's fasting, we also don't allow duchenim. But what about ne'ilah? Ne'ilah, you only daven on a tiny tzibur. So you can't make a loyplur. So Neila, you do allow duchnim because no hashash of shikra. So the only shayla is, but our practice is that we begin Neila mibod yom and we finish in the middle of the night. So there's Yerushalmi in the end of Tainus that you don't have duchening by Ma'ariv. You never duchen by Ma'ariv. So many Rishonim understood you don't duchen by Ma'ariv because there's no chazoras hashatz by Ma'ariv. You only duchen at the conclusion of chazoras hashatz. After the chazan says atov shimcha lochana lahoidos in the chazaras hashatz, so then you have the duchening. But by ma'ariv there's no chazaras hashatz. But if you have chazaras hashatz for ne'ila middle of the night, so why shouldn't you have duchening? And others, and many rishonim disagree, and they say no, you don't have duchening by lila because duchening is compared to hakrovas karbonis, it's called an avoda. That's the gemara m'sochin. So since duchening is an avoda and all avodas have to be by yom. So you're not allowed to duchen balayl. So the Maharil quotes that all over in Europe, when they finished Ne'ilah in the middle of the night, Amitzo Yom Kippur, the practice always was they wouldn't duchen except for Frankfurt. And they complained. In Frankfurt they did Shaloi Kedin, that they would duchen, they do embroiders like that. They duchen in the middle of the night, Amitzo Yom Kippur, because that was the Minhag Frankfurt. So the Shagasari has a sefer on Tainus that's called Gvuras Ari. So the last piece in the Sefer, the manuscript ends in the middle. It says, Kan Choser, the last paragraph is missing. So he started to write a defense of the Minhag Frankfurt, and it sounds like he's going to say the same as the Maharil. Maharil defends it in the Sefer Maharil, in Mahogim Maharil. He says that there is no such halacha, you can't be makar karbonos balayl. Only avodas adam. Shchita kabbalah halacha zrika, the avodas adam can't be done balayl. Or when you bring a korban mincha, so there are dalet avodas by a mincha that are parallel to the dalet avodas adam by korbanos. So the avodas that are parallel to the dalet avodas adam, that cannot be done by laila. But nisach hayayin can be done by laila, and haktoras emurim can be done by laila, and haktoras other avodas that are not avodas adam may be done by laila. So who says that duchening is called an avoda to be compared to avodas adam? It's an avoda. It's an avoda like nisach hayayin. It's an avoda like aktoris emurim. Bezok that you can't do these avodas balayl. So that was the big machlokes. Is it permissible to have the duchening on balayla by ne'ila? Rabbi Schwab told me that in Frankfurt, he said that his parents were balabatim by Rabbina Hirsch. So he said they used to duchen by Nila, but they finished Nila before the Shkia. He said,
No problem.
So what are you going to do for an hour after they finished Nila? So they used to say, Abina Malkena, line by line. So it took 20 minutes, line by line. And then he said, Rabbina Hirsch used to hold at Russia. And he said that there was a famous German poem that was written about the last Russia that Rabbi Hirsch gave in his right before he died. He died, I think, December 30th or something. He died the end of December, the end of a year.
Make sure that the salary was equal.
They used to pay him in the beginning of the month. So he said if he dies in the middle of the month, his children should give the money back to the kehillah for the end of the month. So he died the last day of December. Yeah.
I'll be the new pay at the end of the month.
Yeah. So Rabbi Schwab said that there's a famous German poem about the last drasha that Rabbi Hirsch held at Matzoi Yom Kippur, waiting to daven Ma'ariv. There was a sichsuch in his gehillah, so he held the whole drasha. Why the two families have to get together and make peace? And the gist of the drasha was that when the chazan says the kaddish, Yisro Shalom Imrama, V'yasro Shalom Aleinu, and everybody says Amen. Amen means that we're maskim to make peace. So if they all said Amen to the kaddish, so they all have to make peace with each other. That was the gist. So that's really more correct. More correct if you want to duchen. In Eretz Yisrael, in a lot of places, they duchen by Nila, but they finish Nila mibod yom. They finish the duchening before the Shkia. Then they do like that. They say, Avinu Malkeinu, slowly, line by line. A lot of yeshivas, they do like that. Or you say the piyutim. A lot of shuls, they save all the slichas. the slichas that you say so many slichas by Ne'ilo, so that's what causes the duchening to be balayla. So the Mishnah Berurah says if it's late, you can say all the slichas after Chazaras Hashatz. So that's what they say. They say Chazaras Hashatz with no slichas, and they finish the duchening before the Shkia, and then after the Chazan finishes the Chazaras Hashatz, so then they say all the slichas that they missed from before, then they say Avinu Malkeinu, then it's ready deep into the middle of the night. Then they get ready to
have a song that they are singing anyway.
The prolonged Shabbos, yeah.
Yeah.
The prolonged Shabbos, yeah.
When I was there to show Tisha B'Av, for me it was very odd. By Mincha, they bid us Kahana.
Later, that they have.
Never even. By Tisha B'Av, by Mincha, it was bid us Kahana. I mean, it was the first time I ever heard it, so it was very odd.
The Gemara says that we really pass like the Tanoim that you're not allowed to duchen even Mincha and a Taina Sibur, a loy plug out to Mincha every other day, there's a Chasha Shikra. So then the later Amoraim say, the Hoidna, and Mizman Azeh, that the practice in Bavel is that we do Duchen on a Taina Sibur by Mincha. Why is that? So the Gemara says, since that our practice is that we daven Mincha on a Taina Sibur so late in the afternoon, right before the Shkia, so it's like Ne'ila. So just like by Ne'ila, you can Duchen on a Taina Sibur, so you can Duchen by Mincha. So the Pashto says that's only by Medvar Mamurim if they're going to daven Mincha late in the afternoon. But in a lot of places they daven Mincha early on a Taina Sibur. So then the Pashto and the Gemara is that you don't duchen by Mincha. So that the Chazanish introduced, that even if you daven Mincha early on the Taina Sibur, you still duchen. So they all disagreed with the Chazanish. So in Eretz Yisrael, in many places, they'll follow, half of the places, they do follow the Chazanish to duchen on the Taina Sibur to Mincha, even though they're davening Mincha very early. In other places, they don't follow the Chazanish. They say it's against the Gemara. It's very difficult. That Chazanish against the Gemara.
Rabbi used to say that it was wrong to
daven
Mincha early on the
Tanis. Rabbi used to say, you see from the Gemara, that even though all year long you daven Mincha early, but on the Tanis, you're supposed to daven Mincha later. So he said it's not right that we all daven Mincha early on the Tanis. She really supposed to wait till later.
Once you've said the low plug by Mincha, how can you then, and it's because of a low plug of Shikras, how can you then all of a sudden say by Ne'ilah, which comes after, that you can duchen? Shouldn't Mincha have knocked it out already?
I mean, if you're duchening on Mincha and Yom Kippur.
Let's say you're not duchening on Mincha and Yom Kippur.
Before. We don't duchen Mincha and Yom Kippur, because we only duchen by Ne'ilah.
Shouldn't, once you've said low plug by Mincha, that should already knock out even
Ne'ilah,
because the low
plug
was
because
of Shikras.
No, but Ne'ilah is a tefillah that you only offer on a Taina Sibur.
It's after Mincha. So once we've said the low plug
yes.
by Mincha, how can you then say something after? The low plug of Shikras started already by Mincha.
Because Mincha you daven every day, so if you allow people to duchen on Mincha and a Taina Sibur, they'll start to duchen on a regular day by Mincha. And Ne'ilah you only say on a Taina Sibur. Neil is only on a Taina Sibur. When Yom Kippur begins, so we say the Bezen Shabbos. Shamayla B'Shiva Shamata on Atirim Nispalim Ho Avrayonim. So this is based on the Gemara in Krisis. The Gemara says Kol Taina Sibur Shema Meposh Yisrael Ein a Taina Sibur. It's only called a Taina Sibur if everybody davens together. If you have Bali Avera also joining. If you don't have Posha Yisrael, you don't have Bali Avera joining in the Tfilas on Taina Sibur. Does Hastenish can Taina Sibur. Some say that Sibur is a Rosh Tevis, Tzadik Beis Resh, Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim. If you don't have all three, Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim, then it's not called the Taina Sibur. I remember years ago, in the shuls, on Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, you used to have people, Bali Averis, they didn't observe anything, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they all came to the shuls. Now they don't even come to Orthodox shuls. These people feel uncomfortable coming. They go to Reform or Conservative, if they go at all. It's really a chisar. The Gemara says, you have to have Mipasha Yisrael. So sometimes we put a person in Cherem, we don't allow anyone to daven with him. So that's why in Erev Yom Kippur we have to convene a bezin. We say, B'shiv Shalmai, B'shiv Shalmat, on a matirim l'spalim, ho avrayonim. We are matir, the yisr, we're allowed to daven with the avrayonim, because we want the tefillah satinus to be a tainus tibur, to be mishatev the rishoyim. You have to try to be mishatev the rishoyim in the tanesim a little more than we do.
They do tshuva.
I take this as a promise.
I got you the yellow.